Birth, the Grand Division, Chapter 27. "Hey, can we get a little more makeup over here?" asked the set manager for KTLA Channel 5. The artist set down her kit on the makeshift anchor desk inside the LA Times complex in the upper floors of the LA skyscraper. "No, can you do something about the black eye and something to make that swollen lip go away on camera?" he instructed her with his fingers without touching Shelley's face. "Oh, I'll be fine. Don't worry about it so much," said Kelly. "You know what? You're not fine. It's not fine. We are live in 5 minutes, and you look like you've been in a wreck," he said, throwing his hands in the air. "I was in a wreck, asshole," she said, wincing as the makeup artist dabbed foundation onto the blued skin around her right eye. "Yeah, so why don't you just cancel this remote thing? You dragged our remote crew out here at four times the cost," and he was shaking his hands at her like he was begging her to give. "We have a contract," she said with conviction. "Right, and the show must go on, I know," said the manager. "Not a show. We are running out of time. They will not stop me from saving as many people as we can," she said, almost crying. "Okay, okay, I know it's important, this saving the world stuff," he said, calming and stepping up to the anchor desk. "And stop crying. You run your makeup." The makeup artist completed her job, folded the lid shut on her aluminum case, and walked off the set. Abdullah walked up to her from the side of the remote set he facilitated in the LA Times suite. "I'm proud of you," said Abdullah. "Let it come from the heart, Shelley." "You know what they say about things that don't kill you," she said, arranging her papers in front of her. "And thank your son for saving my life." Her eyes met his in gratitude. "You are strong, like my wife, God rest her soul. One of my best investments," he said, waving at her as he walked off the set. Shelley smiled and looked forward to the teleprompter screen. It read 202 and counting down. She took a few deep breaths and tried not to notice the broken ribs poking pain into her right side. She looked down and pulled the printed panel of her dress over the top part of the cast of her arm so that it wouldn't show too much in the camera. She knew her viewers knew she was in a nearly fatal car wreck the night before. What they didn't know is that it was an attempt on her life. She hoped they would appreciate the importance of the nightly message she was bringing to them step by step to prepare them for the coming months. "1 minute, everybody," shouted the set manager. Shelley closed her eyes and thought about the people out there, waiting to learn what to do next. She thought about the course of her life over the past year and how she had gone from a helicopter traffic reporter to an internationally recognized news anchor, walking millions of people each night to a new world that no one knew anything about, not even her. There was still the task of making it through the coming cataclysm. 5, 4, 3, and the set manager used two fingers and then pointed at Shelley. "Good evening, and welcome to this special report on News Channel 5. I'm Shelley LaSalle. I know you heard that I was involved in a terrible car accident last night. That much is true. What you do not know is that it was a direct attempt on my life to stop me from bringing you this information. It was my decision to appear tonight as scheduled, because my love for you heals me faster and better than any medical treatment could. Since the beginning of this broadcast series, I have brought you the information about the union of the polarity. You now know that the higher energy spirit Earth is about to separate from the lower energy temporal Earth. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the grand division that is occurring right now all across the world. Light is being separated from darkness. What I mean to say is that good is being separated from evil. Ancient writings talk about the tares being gathered together at the end of the age to be burned. Well, the tares look just like the wheat when they're young. They cannot be gathered because some wheat would be gathered with them. But when the tares mature, when the true nature of the tares becomes plain to see, it is easy to tell the difference. That is what is going on now. You must know that there is some resistance to being separated. There is great jealousy and rage in the ranks of the tares, because they are wealthy and powerful, and they command armies and navies with that power. They cannot go with the higher energy Earth, so they intend to keep you from making it as well. I'm here to tell you tonight to have no fear about that. If you keep the love that President Riker has talked about, you will make it to the right place. If you concentrate on raising the frequency of your personal energy and do your best to radiate that energy, the planet will respond. It is a living thing, just like you are, and it is affected by our state of consciousness. I'm sure each of you is wondering what is going to happen in the coming weeks and months. My being here tonight is proof that they cannot stop this word from reaching you. Even if there were no broadcast, no lights, no publication, you would be receiving the word another way. Open your heart and you will know I speak the truth. And if you die or are killed in the coming transition, do not despair, because you are eternal beings. You will never remember the sting of death, so have no fear of it. Please do the following things as quietly and quickly as you can. Begin storing a 3-month supply of water, food, and if need be, money, in the form of silver or gold. Don't worry about storing cash. It will be worthless to everyone in a very short amount of time. Convert your cash into silver or gold in small increments or coins so that you can use it as currency. Don't rush out and buy more than a 3-month supply unless you are safe where you live. You may be called upon to move, and you will not be able to transport more than a 3-month supply without becoming a victim of robbery. If you have surplus, share it with others who had to run and could not collect this amount. Make sure you have a place to go that is safe. If you live in the congested city areas, many have feared the implementation of martial law. That is not very likely to happen. Law enforcement will more likely be relieved of service, and the cities will be allowed to collapse into chaos. There are large factions of the population that have been coached and prepared by past administrations for this very day. In many cases, they have been paid by subversive forces to begin tearing the cities apart from the inside as soon as law enforcement is told to stand down. The money you have in the bank will be inaccessible. Your home may be invaded. Your free speech will be removed. Your other rights will be removed. The jealous rage that motivates these dark souls has infected many of your own neighbors. Now, along with the Grand Division is a great gathering. The light beings are being gathered together and prepared for the separation of the two Earths. The darkness beings have been leeching their daily bread from the light beings for centuries, and they do not want you to go away, but you must. When the time comes, you will walk away from your homes and away from your stuff, carrying only your food, water, and hard metal savings. Once you let your things go, you will feel a great burden lifted from your soul. The simplification of your life will be a great blessing to you, and you will never be a slave to debt again. Besides, the equivalent may come back many times over in greater reward, and if it doesn't, you will still be happy, because your peace and fulfillment does not reside in these things. It resides in the love you have for one another. Do not despair. I will be here tomorrow night to give you the next page of information you will need to save this world. Pay close attention to the President's comments as they are released, and tune in tomorrow night right here on KTLA Channel 5. The camera faded to commercial, and the set manager approached the makeshift anchor desk. "Shelley, I have to tell you, I was wrong. I'm so sorry," he said. "There's nothing to be sorry for. I'm not really in pain, not too bad," she said, relaxing her back from the perfect camera posture for a moment. "It's not that. What you said tonight about love and about groups in the cities being coached to destroy it from the inside really hit home with me. You are right. My whole life I have been a bleeding heart liberal, and I thought that everyone should have a place to live, food to eat, and health care, just for being alive. We actually have accomplished the exact opposite of what we were told we would, he said. Look, it's been like this since the dawn of time. People are bought and sold every day to do the bidding of a handful of ruling class oligarchs. These people sell their souls to Lucifer to be happy, but all they feel every day is rage and misery. But the thing that enrages them even worse is to see someone else that is happy. Now it is time for the light beings to be gathered out and transitioned, leaving behind the dark souls with their dark earth to live in darkness forever. Because the light is leaving, she said, standing up with her stacked papers. I just want to say, thanks, Shelley. Thank you, he said, helping her down from the one step onto the makeshift anchor desk. For what it's worth, you're welcome. Thanks for supporting the broadcast tonight. I know it wasn't easy up here in this location. The crew continued to power down the cameras and stow the gear for the program the following night. They ate the rest of the excellent snacks that Abdullah provided and drank all the coffee. One by one, they walked to the elevator and made their way to the ground floor. Shelley's phone rang and she answered it. Hello? Shelley here, she said. Hi, Shelley. This is Lorraine McKenna, the president's new chief of staff. How are you feeling? Asked Lorraine. Oh, my God, I feel like I've been in a car wreck, she said, chuckling softly so as not to make her ribs hurt. I just wanted to say that I loved your broadcast tonight. I want to ask you a question, she said. Yes? What would you like to know? Asked Shelley. I know that Abdullah Bayezid is supporting you out there, and the president thinks that is best. It's at the heart of what this country is all about. We think it would be best for your safety, and much more effective, if you were to move your operation to Site R, so we can universally translate your work real-time for global broadcast. Would you come to Washington? Asked Lorraine. Wow, I never thought about that. I mean, I never discussed anything greater than what we are doing on Channel 5 with Abdullah. I can see what he thinks, responded Shelley, not sure if she was ready for a global presence. She was living her dream right now, although she never expected to be killed for her commitment to getting the truth out there. The president is on the phone with Abdullah as we are speaking, said Lorraine. I am sure he will be supportive of the move. You may want to select a few of the Channel 5 people and others whom you would like to have by your side. It's going to get rough. I don't think it can get much rougher, said Shelley. It's going to get much rougher, said Lorraine. We need you. Tears began to come down Shelley's swollen cheeks, and she tasted the salt on her tongue as she licked her upper lip. The weight of those words crushed her soul. She had watched people die today. The implication was that there would be more. She knew she would never be able to go back to the young reporterette that just wanted to be on TV. She was 25 years old in a fast-moving world of supermodels and actors who wanted the same thing she wanted. But this was different. This was the responsibility of being the spokesperson for a new planet Earth. Shelley, are you okay? Asked Lorraine. Yeah, she said, trying her best not to reveal her tears over the phone. I can't wait to meet you, she said. Yeah, me too. Thanks for calling. I'll see what Abdullah has planned, said Shelley as she held the phone to her ear with her good arm. We'll talk soon, Shelley. Good night, said Lorraine. Good night, and she thumbed the screen to end the phone call. Shelley walked to the restroom and removed the makeup from her face with warm water and dried her hands. She stood there, looking in the mirror. Who are you, Shelley LaSalle? She said to herself. She laughed through her tears, still trying to leak from her eyes. Hi, I'm Little Miss Nobody coming to you live to tell you about the end of the world, she said. That's not quite true, said Abdullah, standing with his arms folded in the doorway of the restroom. Oh, my God, you startled me, said Shelley. You're not going to tell the world that at all, Shelley, he said without moving. I'm not, she said, confused, thinking that perhaps he was not going to send her to the underground facility at Site R. You're going to tell them about the beginning of a new world, he said, with a slight smile on his face and unfolding his arms. He opened the door for her to walk out with him, out of the ladies' room. But Lorraine, that's the president's new chief of staff, she said that it was going to get much rougher, she said as she held up her arm in a cast. I don't know if I can take much rougher. The president and I go back a long way. He wants to keep you safe and assemble his final transition team, said Abdullah. But he just got elected. How can he need a... And she got it at that moment. The Earth. He means to preserve the leadership through the transition of the Earth, she said. It's not quite like that, said Abdullah. If he's right, and I believe he is, there may be about 2 billion souls that make this transition. There will still be a need for schools, food production, waste management, and energy supply. The system of commerce hasn't even been figured out yet, but I'm sure it will be completely different than anything we have ever seen before. After all, we can't let a system of bankers survive, now can we? Hell no, said Shelley, gaining control over emotions and feeling stronger by the minute. Okay, that's the spirit. I'm sending Orphan with you, he said out of the blue. What? Why? I mean, why Orphan? She asked. He feels strongly for you. He expressed his desire to stay close to you, and I think this is a good path for him. Besides, I know he will be safe at Site R, he said as they arrived at his spacious office suite. She followed him to his desk, where she sat down in one of the large overstuffed leather chairs in front of his desk like a small amphitheater. He walked over to the large plate glass window that had a view from the top floor over the city lights. This city won't be a safe place when the cops go home after the last shift, he said, placing his hands together behind his back. You want me to keep him safe? She said incredulously. He is older than his years, and he is well-trained, better than most soldiers. He's smart, and he is a Bayezid. That is the right place for him. He dropped his hands and turned toward his beautiful humidor, plucked a thin cigar, struck it in the trimmer, and then ignited it to a cherry red life. Yes. Take care of my boy, Shelley, he said as he blew a beam of smoke through his customary ring. Thank you, Abdullah, for everything, she said quietly as she stood to leave. Goodbye, Shelley LaSalle, he said as he turned back to the window to quietly weep in his soul.